Hi, and thank you for joining me today. This is the Pod Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and I believe we can save Nigeria through this platform. I am Emmanuel, and I've been studying Nigerian politics for over 15 years. Before I start today's podcast, I want to thank those of you that have made comments on my video or the podcast. I thank you for taking the time to listen. I appreciate your good comments. And for those of you that you have opposing view, I also appreciate your comments. I believe that we are one thing that unites us is our passion to see that Nigeria continue to be better and that Nigeria attains the potential of the country. Today, in today's podcast, I'll be bringing you information on the Twitter ban. I will talk about President Buhari's interview on Arise TV. I will also talk about TB Joshua, the man passed away last week, just a few days to his 58th birthday. And it will just be a review of events this week. I want to implore you, don't go anywhere, just sit back and enjoy. Also, I want to thank those of you that have been sharing my podcast and my YouTube channel. I want to tell you that you need to keep sharing. We need to get this message out. We need to send it out. I believe that on this platform, we can save Nigeria. Nigeria is going down the drain, and I believe it is the work of everyone. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone, but I believe that we can achieve it together, and that is what we are going to do. If you are yet to subscribe to my YouTube channel, if you are yet to subscribe to my podcast, you need to do that now. You can access all these podcasts on my YouTube channel if you want to watch it as a video. But if you want to watch as an audio, you can also get it on, you can listen on Spotify, on Amazon, on Google Podcasts, on so many platforms of your choice. Moving on to today's podcast, I just want to comment on the Twitter ban. Information on the Twitter ban is not going away. But what is interesting now is that police in Nigeria can now arrest people for having Twitter app on their phone. Despite the fact that there is no law in Nigeria regarding Twitter, due to the president banning it, the police have been empowered and the police can now arrest people. It's a shame that people will continue to be harassed in Nigeria just for having Twitter on their phone. One thing that we need to know is that it is the common man that will bear the brunt of these acts. People like El-Rufai, the governor of Kaduna State, which is a close ally to the president, Buhari, is still tweeting and everyone is not going to fall. Governor Seyi Makinde, another governor from Oyo State, he has always been a vocal critic of the president. He's still tweeting, but there is nothing they could do about him. Pastor Adeboye and Pastor Kumuyi too, they continue to tweet. Although in Pastor Adeboye's tweet, he said he's tweeting to 170 countries. But the fact is, when Lai Mohammed was asked about Pastor Adeboye, he said he's going to contact the Attorney General to decide which punishment or if he's to be arrested. I know they can't arrest Pastor Adeboye. I know they can't arrest Pastor Kumuyi. The people that they are going to arrest, they will be the Nigerian youth. The people that will be under attack for this introduction, for this new rule, is going to be the Nigerian youth. You know, when all these things happen, the Nigerian youth is always at the receiving end. And it is a shame. The government, usually, they can't do anything about the big and the influential people. They only go after innocent people. Just like in the case of the bandits and, you know, they can't attack, they can't do anything to the bandits, to the Boko Haram, but their focus is always on the peaceful and innocent protesters. Another thing that is interesting about the Twitter ban is the fact that the government of Nigeria is now actually on another social media platform. That social media platform is called, permit me if I pronounce it wrongly, it is called Kouo, Kouo. AWO is an Indian application, Indian version of Twitter. For me, I can describe it as a low budget Twitter. What is interesting is that this app is made in is an Indian app, and the Indian government, they are actually on Twitter, but Nigerian government decided to go on that app. It's interesting. We see how this goes. I just want to use this opportunity to call on the government. We add that the government is now having a dialogue with Twitter. I don't want Twitter to be managed by the government. I still want Twitter to be a means for people to express themselves. Twitter should not bow to the pressure from the Nigerian government. People have a right for information, and that right should be protected. People's rights offline should as well be protected online. When I have update on that, I will get back to you. President Buhari was in Lagos to commission the Lagos-Ibadan railway project. Trust me, I want to say that project is massive. The project was funded through some loans from China. I saw some of the pictures online. Project was well executed. I want to say kudos to the Minister of Transportation. That is former governor of River State, Rotimi Amaechi. Even though in the course of executing this project, he almost gave away Nigeria's sovereignty to China to get the loan. But one thing that is clear from this loan is that Nigerian politicians, they can actually do something good if they want to. They are not stupid. It just shows that they are intentionally keeping Nigeria backward. We need to know that many of those things that we are talking about, they are something that is possible in Nigeria. That railway terminal, when we talk about it, that it is possible in Nigeria, some people will say, how can Nigeria do this, that? You can see it is possible in Nigeria. It's just if the leaders are ready to do it. Another thing that also came out of this Buhari's commissioning in Lagos is the fact that he spoke to it to the media. He had two interviews. He had one with Arise TV and so another one with the NTA. You know, normally we don't know if Buhari is doing anything because he doesn't really come out to speak to the media. We only know about information when he's at the airport, when he's about to leave the country. In this interview, the president had the opportunity to restore hope to Nigerians, but surprisingly or disappointingly, he did not. He didn't do that. So as usual, he goofed. When they asked him about unemployment, he said Nigerian youths are unemployed because they are misbehaving. I don't know if any of you is close to Mr. President. Please tell Mr. President that those people that are not employed, they are not employed because they are misbehaving. There are many Nigerians that are behaving well and are unemployed. The government can help youth, can provide jobs for youth by creating job opportunities, by improving the economy. It is not by the youth misbehaving or behaving. Also, another thing is that he still insisted on killing protesters in the south while treating bandits in the north with kids' glove. He said Boko Haram, they are Nigerians, a lot of sympathy with the Boko Haram, but then he still insisted on treating protesters in the south, according to him, the way they understand. He believes that his administration has solved Nigeria's security challenges. That is another thing that come out from his interview. He believes that Nigerians are enjoying. He believes that there is no security challenge in Nigeria. It is interesting. I don't know the world he lives in. I don't know. It's like the president is living in another planet, because in Nigeria today, security is a major challenge. The president believes that the security in Nigeria is better than the time he came in. Now, that is another lie. Nigeria is now having more security challenge now than in 2015. My summary for the interview is that he's daydreaming through the interview. It was incoherent, and it seems not to understand the situation in the country. Trust me, these people are not feeling the heat. They are not feeling it at all. That interview, that is what I can get from that interview. The interview also did something. The interview and the trip, it exposed the problem within the APC. You know, when they are talking, you know, they asked Buhari about 2023, and he said someone cannot, he said when they are doing the primaries, it will be kind of people-oriented. Although that's not the exact word he used, but the word I'm actually interested in is that Buhari said someone cannot control APC from Lagos. Some people might believe he's referring to Tinubu, the Jagaban of the universe. I don't know. Tinubu did not attend the event, and this is the biggest APC event for the Southwest for this administration. For me, that actually rings a bell. The fact that Tinubu did not attend that event, for me, it shows something. It just reminded me the way, remember, Ambode did not attend the commissioning of Iyana Ipaja Expressway. Yeah, you know, the Iyana Ipaja Expressway is a project that was started during the time of when Ambode was the governor of Lagos State. But then Ambode fell out with Tinubu. And despite all everyone talking to Tinubu to allow Ambode do a second term, blah, 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 Tinubu refused and Ambode left. And just not long into the new governor's administration, Sanwo-Olu, the road was completed. And Ambode wasn't invited, or maybe he shunned invitation to attend the inauguration. So that just reminded me. But this might just be a coincidence, so you can't bank on it. Tinubu might just have an appointment that is bigger than Buhari, or that is bigger than the APC nonsense. Only time will tell. But there's something that we can all get from this. This should be a lesson to everyone. It's a lesson to me. It should also be a lesson to you. No condition is permanent. During election, they needed him and they used him. Now he's no longer useful to them. So because he's no longer useful to them, they don't care. That's what we call use and dump. I'll just tell you, if you find yourself in any position, try to represent people. Try to stand up for what is right. Nothing lasts forever. And for me, I don't know if this is the beginning of the end for Tinubu. It is clear, I don't know, but you can just let me know in the comment section. Do you think Buhari is actually referring to Tinubu, or Buhari is referring to someone else? Because they made it clear. He said somebody cannot sit in Lagos. And who is sitting in Lagos, if not the Jagaban of the universe? Another interesting thing this week that I'm going to talk about is that it's about the referendum, about the issue of Biafra. This keeps coming up every week. But what is interesting this week is that a group of women in the Northeast, Northwest, and North Central, they came out to protest and gave a press conference. They call themselves the Amalgamation of Northeast women or so. They want the government to hold a referendum in the East. And their argument is that they said anytime there is a war in Nigeria, it's those people at the receiving end. They are usually the women and the children. I agree with them, but I would just say that everybody bear the brunt when there is a war, because they said after losing their husband to war, they are left as single parents. They said sometimes when they don't lose their husband to the war, their husband came back from war to become useless to the family. So still they continue to look after both husband and child. So they said they don't want a repeat of what has happened in past war. And they just want peace. They don't want war. They want Nigeria. They said if the eastern part of the country wants to leave, the government should make a referendum and so that people can choose what they want. And as if that is not enough, another group of Northern Elder, they also had their own press conference in which they made the same demand. In their own demand, they said it is better to have a referendum than to have war in Nigeria. I am also reading another article from President Obasanjo. I think that is on Premium Times. He said, One, Nigeria should not be at any cost. In his statement, he said, "I am a strong believer of one Nigeria, but not one Nigeria at any cost, but one Nigeria where every Nigerian feel proud that he or she has a stake in this country," meaning that if people don't feel they should be part of the country, why should we force them to be part of the country? And I agree with him, because these are people that actually fought during the Biafra War, because there is no point forcing people to be a part of Nigeria. That is why, for me, I still believe that while I support one Nigeria, I believe that there should be a way to discuss the unity of Nigeria. If one part of the country is not okay or didn't want to be part of Nigeria, then so be it. Let them choose. But one thing I can say is this. The problem with all this referendum, I think it's happening because of the way the current government is treating the Southeast, because Buhari said that he will treat people that gave him 90% votes than areas that gave him 5%. I think if the president can realize that he's a president for the whole Nigeria, I think things will definitely change. Because at least if we look at politically, for example, if there's a referendum, I don't think if there's a referendum, well, I should not say I don't think, but politically, most of the parties that are supporting referendum in the East, for example, they have no seat. They have not won election in their council, local government, talk less of their states or senatorial or anything. So politically, they might not even be as strong, but the way the government is going after them is giving them more popularity. So killing Biafran protesters is not a way forward. If the government can dialogue with bandits, if the government can dialogue with terrorists, there is no reason for not having conversation with the Biafra protesters. These people that are protesting for Biafra, they are Nigerians. The president said that he's standing by his Twitter tweets. That's another thing from the interview. He said he's standing by it. Even though that tweet is unpopular, it's been deleted on Twitter. I think the president needs to have a rethink, because the tweet and the content of the tweet is not acceptable. The Nigerian president cannot be threatening Nigerians, especially if he's the same president that believes that is sympathetic to the Boko Haram and to terrorists and to bandits. Please, you can drop your opinion in the comment section. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you feel, if you have the same sentiment as me regarding the president's speech or his interview. Within the last couple of days, he has had so many interviews which we are not used to. I think we need to get used to hearing the president's voice, even though it's not coherent. If you are joining me, this is Emmanuel, and I am presenting a Pod Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and I believe we can save Nigeria through this platform. Continue to subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to this YouTube channel. Nigeria will prevail. Something happened last week which I would like to talk about, and that is the news of the death of the popular pastor TB Joshua. The news of TB Joshua is devastating to so many people. He died last week Saturday at the age of 57, just before his 58th birthday, after completing one of his church services. One thing I just learned from his death is that we need to appreciate people when they are alive. When I saw all the posts on social media, I don't even know if that popular, and everyone putting it and all the good things people are saying about it. With no iota of doubt, I can say this man has made huge impact on his people and on his community. It is also interesting that many people from the religious circle, like many Christian men of God, they did not commiserate with his family or make a post. I know that is possible because it might be because of the Twitter ban. Maybe they don't want to risk Buhari's arrest. I don't know. But one thing I can just say is that even if you don't agree with his teaching, the man talk about God the way you understand it. So that's the way you understand it. And it's another shame is that a pastor in Uganda actually celebrated TB Joshua's death. To him, he saw it as a victory. I don't understand his thought process. Yeah, I don't understand it. But one thing I can just say is I felt sad when I look at the reaction of members of TB Joshua's church. They are hopeless. I think men of God need to let their followers know that they are also human beings. Many of them believe their trust is not actually on God. Their trust is on the man of God for miracle. Now that the man of God is dead, it's like a block road for them. I think we need to let people know that, man of God, please let member all you church owners, let your members know that you are humans, like you are a human being like them, that they can have the same relationship that you have with God. Show them how they can read their Bible, how they can pray. As in, people can develop this relationship with God themselves, and they don't have to always go through the man of God or all these things. So I just see them as hopeful. Once again, condolence to his family and church members. And to all Akoko people of Ondo State, he does a lot of good stuff. There's another thing I would like to talk about. There are rumors that the traditionalists in his town have requested for his body. They said, although the wife is insisting that the burial should hold, she wants the church to bury him. But one thing is, many of the church leaders that are not, that are trying to dissociate with TB Joshua, some people allegedly say it is because they felt the man is occultic, that he's not really a Christian, or I don't know. But that is, I'm just wondering if that is validating some of those claims. You can let me know your opinion in the comment section. So, because according to the Yoruba tradition, if a member of a cult, if you die, then the members of that cult, they own the body, and there is nothing anyone can do. Even if the wife disturb it, then it might be a problem for the children and children's children. So you know what I mean. Let me just know what you think in the comment section. But condolence to everyone that loves TB Joshua. I pray that God will give you all the fortitude to bear the great and irreparable loss. And finally, today is June 12th. Today in Nigeria is the Democracy Day. The Democracy Day is actually 29th of May, but it has been changed to the 12th of June. There are protests going on in Nigeria to protest the act of the government. There are so many things people are protesting on. They are protesting against youth unemployment. They are protesting against police brutality. They are protesting against the security states of the Nigerian community and the Nigerian nation at large. The list is, it's a lot, it's long on that list. But one thing that is happening today is that despite the fact that it is the Democracy Day, the police are still arresting protesters. The police are being brutal to people. Next week, I would give you an update on today's protest. But the little I could see on BBC Yoruba News, I saw the conversation between a police officer and the journalist. The police officer is telling the journalist not to video. And the journalist is explaining to the police officer that what he is doing is in the interest of that police officer. It's a shame that these police officers, they think, they usually forget they are part of the people. I don't know, some of them think they go to a different market from other people, or maybe their kids attend a different school from different from other kids. I don't know. The way some of them behave as an instrument against Nigerians' development, the way they attract, the way they are attacking protesters, people that are fighting for our collective rights. So I think there is still a lot of work to be done regarding the police. Next week, I'll give you an update. Anytime there is a protest as big as this, my heart always goes out to the protesters. I know today some people will be brutalized. I pray nobody lose their life today in the June 12 protest that is happening all across Nigeria. And if there's any updates, you can post it in the comment section. I will read every comment. If you are joining me today, thank you for joining. This is Pod Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and I believe we can save Nigeria to this platform. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my podcast. Nigeria will prevail. You don't have to give up on any of the challenges Nigeria is facing at the moment. Nigeria is going to pass through it. Nigeria is going to be strong again. That is why we have this podcast. Join this conversation. If you want to send a message, there is a link in the description. Record your message and I will play your message. I'll play that message on this podcast. Thank you very much. And by the way, don't forget to share this podcast, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.